Kate Harness with 307 Net Radio, and I have an exciting interview for everybody today. I'm with Superintendent Charles Oskey.
Good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon. But also joined by three students from Buffalo High School. Wiley Waller. Hello, Wiley.
Hi.
Vivi Ostheimer. Hello.
Hi.
And Marianne Ludwig.
Hi.
Hello. So welcome, girls, and thank you. We thought that it might be a nice opportunity for some students to talk to you, Superintendent, and ask some questions that are burning on their mind. So
I'm super excited. If you could be here, you could see the enthusiasm.
Yes,
it's all good.
I can see that too. So why don't we just start? Wiley, you have a first question, I think.
Okay, so I guess I never really understand what you get to do as a superintendent. Like, what does it mean to you? What's your favorite? What's your worst parts about your job?
So that's a great question. So what is the role of the superintendent? The role of the superintendent is to work with the board of trustees and help guide and do the things that's best for kids in an entire district. Mm-hmm. Everything from dealing with the daily business of happening in the district to working with state legislators about how we fund school districts as an example, legislation, political things, doing things like this, getting out into the community and really trying to make sure that the community is involved. I'm a lot about collaboration, doing the things that we can. But more importantly, I also have to realize that I can't do everything. So it's delegating responsibilities, putting systems in place so that we can have a good quality educational system in Johnson County. But it's not just here. It's being active at the state level and doing some different things. What do I miss the most? Or I think the biggest struggle for me is not being with kids. So my experience in 33 years of education, a lot of that has to do with being an administrator. I'm still a teacher and a coach at heart. So that's what I'm excited about today. Guess who I'm getting to visit with? I'm getting to work with kids. So those are some things that I do miss. But overall picture, there's a lot more than just looking at policies. It's about being out in the community. I'm being about collaboration. So in the short term that I've been here is some of the partnerships we've done locally with community organizations, but even incorporating other districts. So kind of doing a joint effort to make sure we're all on the same page.
Perfect.
Okay.
So, Maddie.
Okay.
You have a good question, I know.
Do you think the Friday half-day schools are working?
So we just did a calendar survey, which is a great question. And majority of the people liked the half a day on Friday. But the reality is we need to take a look at what that looks like educationally. Is it? So asking that question, that's exactly what I'm asking now. So in that short-term piece, is it impacting the opportunities for you kids in a positive way or a negative way? How is that looking? But there's no research out there that shows that schedules are the answer to impacting education. It's a quality of teaching. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's that reducing that loss of instructional time. So there's a lot to that. But with that, we've started, we're going to put together a 2-year calendar with the 4.5-day week in mind. But however, there was some interest in a 4-day week. So potentially putting together a committee to look at that. So there was some interest that came out of the survey that went out to parents. And I would say a majority, 90% of them, like the 4.5-day week. But the reality is there was still some interest in showing that maybe look at a 4-day week. However, I'm not making that promise. It's just putting a committee together because switching, you don't just happen overnight. And there was actually zero interest in going back. Well, a very limited interest in going back to a 5-day week.
So what does it look like if we went to a 4-day week? Would the days be longer? Would kids be getting to school earlier?
Days are longer. So ready for math? Here we go. So it's not about days. It's about student contact hours. And the state just changed student contact hours. So in a non-alternative schedule, you have 175 school days and 185 teacher contract days, which include 10 days of professional development. But theoretically, an alternative schedule, you have to meet so many hours of contact now. So in order to get a 4-day week, you would have to have a minimum. The previous one was 1,100 hours of contact time. So that's how you would get it approved. So if that means 8 to 4, And you go 152 days in a year. Mm-hmm. However, it really comes down to the mathematics of, yeah, your days can be longer, and that shortens the total number of days you have to go. Or you just basically go 8 to 330, and you would extend your days even longer. So it does make a difference, but it's hours and not days when you start looking at an alternative calendar, because that's what a four-day week would be considered, is an alternative calendar. Okay.
So I have a question, too, about that, which is...
Yes.
The working week is typically a five-day week. Many parents and people who are working in professions often find themselves in a five-day week. What is the perceived benefit for a school district, maybe staff and students, in messing around with that at all, whether it's a four and a half day?
So that's where the collaborative piece comes in, and the combination with Boys and Girls Clubs, or those Fridays for the younger kids. You know, when you have as many kids are involved in activities like we do here in Johnson County, do we have a majority of them off on those days? The educational benefits, so let's talk about that. Those Fridays are PD days. So you implement all-day professional development for staff instead of asking them to do things late into the night. So you would try to be creative with at least a minimum of one. Some people do two half days throughout the month. But you're giving teachers an opportunity to do that PLC work, which is professional learning communities. So there's some advantages to what that looks like. However, the conversation is, hopefully we'll get a committee together to look at it, but that's definitely not the direction at this point. My direction right now is to develop that two-year calendar, which we were behind the eight ball last year. I didn't realize until it was late in the game that there hadn't been a schedule. So we're a little bit ahead of the game. I want a two-year calendar and then start looking at things, because feedback from these young ladies or stakeholders in the schools, plus the parents, plus the community, that's a big change. So you got to have a lot of involvement in that. There is a theory out there about four-day weeks that saves money, and I'll tell you, that's not the case. There's no money to be saved with a four-day week.
Okay. Thank you. And so Mr. Oski mentioned the word activities, and Vivi, you have a question about activities, I know. Would you like to ask him?
Yes, please. So as someone who's involved in both, like, activities on the arts side of things, like music and theater and athletics, I'm just wondering, like, what priority do you think should be given to which ones? Because I know that sometimes, just especially, like, being from a small school in Wyoming, the athletics are given more priority or funding than the arts and the music. So I'm just wondering, like, what your thoughts are on that. And
so finding a balance, you know, first of all, activities are something that obviously I support. Okay. And finding that equal balance of what you fund and don't fund. So what's Wyoming High School Activities Association sponsored? What is not? Difference between those and a club. Okay. How you sponsor that. However, we as a district right now are 200% over the model in funding. So we've got a committee looking at, where do we balance that? What do we look like so it's equitable? Where are more kids going to? So it's not that you don't want to do it, but how do you equitably do it? Based on the number of kids, based on facility, time, space, all that kind of stuff. And so it's not as complicated. So where do I stand? That balance starts with, first of all, unfortunately, sometimes there's only 24 hours in the day. There's not enough time in the day. Mm-hmm. So you just talked about athletics versus drama or some of these others or choir. And then on top of that, you still got your homework that has to be done. So those can be very long days.
Oh, yeah.
So how do we help the youth manage that? All right. I live that as a dad. I live that as a coach. And sometimes that balance has to come between collaboration between coaches and programs, parents understanding, and students knowing that sometimes you can't do it all. So you have to, sometimes a choice has to be made. What is important to you? Where do you want to see? And no matter what, coaches, sponsors, administrators, teachers need to be supportive of that student when they make that choice, is my personal feeling.
Thank
personal
you.
And professional.
I have a question from... another student who's not here. In fact, a couple of students asked this. What do you think makes a good school principal? And what do you think makes a good teacher? Leadership's important. teaching is what these kids are here to do every day. What do you think are the qualities that make good principals and good teachers?
Well, let's start out with the teachers, the people who are in front of kids all the time. You can look him up. His name is Harry Wong. He started this trend 30 years ago when I was there, but it's about building those professional relationships with kids. And being excited about what you're teaching and trying to find that interest to where it is. Teachers that are engaged with kids comes back to that reference that kids are engaged in their lessons. So we always talk about, are students engaged in the classroom? Well, quality teaching is about teachers engaging kids because they're excited about what they're doing. They're bringing it to the real world. And sometimes, for example, math. Math is math, all right? Science is science. Every core subject, but bringing that passion to the table professionally and making sure you're prepared, making sure kids know that what they're learning has a value to them. But it comes back to that relationship piece of getting to know your kids. What are their individual strengths? What are their individual weaknesses when it comes to what's in their classroom? That's what makes quality teaching. We've all seen the movies where the teacher hands out the ditto and reads the newspaper. In my world, that's not quality teaching. The teacher is the one that engages kids when they walk into the classroom. They're excited about the whole time they're there. And then when the bell rings, there's this exhaustion of like, I wish we had more time. So that's the definition of quality teaching. Administratively, and I reference this as a team. This is not an I thing. This is a team business. This is what we do. But as supervisors and administrative leaders, we need to be engaged too. We need to be engaged with our teachers. We need to be engaged with kids and have these type of conversations more often than not, right? You guys do have, and everybody says, well, we have rights as students. Yes, you absolutely do. But educators, we have responsibilities to make sure you're safe and we're educating you. However, your voice and you guys have a good input. Let's look at Google. Let's look at some of these amazing corporations where the people that are in the real world have input, and that creates a culture of trust, positive excitement. Is it administration where we always say yes to everything? No. We're kind of the guardians. So answering and saying those hard no's sometimes is reality, but doing it in a way that you understand the purpose. We might agree to disagree. However, being respectful about each other's sides is kind of where we're at in leadership.
Thank you. And I will add again, because you've mentioned Harry Wong before, Mr. Oski, I will add a link again to the post for this interview, for this audio, which goes directly to Harry Wong's website too. So people can check him out there too.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and they will recognize it. I mean, I'm going to challenge the three of you. If you don't know who Harry Wong is, it's just quality teaching. Okay. It's reinventing the wheel. It's nothing more than what professional learning communities are. Talking about students, engaging students, knowing who they are, and those guest presenters and some of the things we talk about. So, okay. Not knowing everything, but keeping it so I'm just not the stick in the mud standing at the corner saying hi, right?
So, Maddie, you have a question.
So, I have two questions. And the first being, like, recently in our school, there's been a lot lots of talk about not being able to dress up for Halloween. And we were just wondering what you think about that.
So, the dress code is what we're coming down to overall, right? In that picture of things. So, again, as student council officers, can I ask this question? What's the purpose of student council? What's the purpose of being an officer?
To be the voice for the students.
Absolutely. So is that's what we're kind of doing here today, right?
Yes.
And by asking
exactly.
Charles questions. Mr. Oski, but I'll go by Charles. The reality is dress code is by individual buildings. So having that engagement with you guys as a student council, but yet still protecting the most important thing is instructional time. So when you start disrupting that instructional time is where kind of rules and policies come into place, and let me scratch out the word policy. Rules of expectations come to each building. So depending on what those rules and expectations are for each building, I really feel you as a student council, what we're doing here today is my job as a superintendent is to support what the community needs and what you as a student body and what the teachers feel is going to impact the culture in a positive way. All right. And I'll just give you an example. if it wasn't for my wife, I'd probably be way off color-coded, okay? So dress has to do with everybody's perception. I won't notice what color shoes you walk in with because I'm going to deal with you as an individual. But in some cases, we don't want the dress of individuals to distract or take away from the learning environment from everybody. So I think you have to find that balance of where it is. And it starts with you, me encouraging you as a student council to work with staff and come up with something that what? Meets the needs of everybody, right? Unless you guys have changed, not everybody's going to dress up, okay? Some will, some won't, all right? What's engaging, not engaging? School spirit days. I mean, do you have 100% participation or do you have 50% participation? So it doesn't take away from the educational environment would be my number one thing, all right?
Okay.
Did I answer your question?
Yes.
So I think some of the conversation, you know, to speak to this is that, you know, you mentioned spirit days. Spirit days, you were encouraged to dress up, and I think what is behind the question is that Halloween, you were discouraged from dressing up. Mm-hmm. So how do those two things, you know...
So without the superintendent stepping in and taking over, it's encouraging what we're doing here today is to get actively involved in what does the student handbook look like? What does the dress code? Is it outdated? Is it outdated? So that's that perception of what's out there. But I think the number one thing with anything in a student handbook is how you, first of all, protect everybody and make it a safe learning environment so you're not impacting instructional time.
Okay? Do you think that there's like, because we're going to be, me and Vivi are going to be graduating soon, so do you think there's like a middle land where like the future underclassmen can maybe dress up for Halloween, or like is there something that they can do to discuss like even bringing up having Halloween again?
Absolutely.
And is it talking to you? Is it talking to you and Mr. O in the same room? Like, what does it look like just for, like, those who are listening for their understanding for the future?
I think it starts with, first of all, I want to walk back. I think student council officers have always just been, in the past, have been just a position that you got an officer. Okay, I think a student council officers and officers like you ladies are in play a role. So that is coming to administration. And if you need to get the superintendent involved to have what that discussion is like, absolutely. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be just a checkbox. Hey, guess what? I'm the student council president. Okay. It's about what are you actively doing within the student council to represent your body, because it is an election by the people in the school. And this is something that you want to work on. But the reality is coming back again, there's rights and then there's responsibilities. So finding out what that actual balance is, why wouldn't you guys come to the table and ask for a meeting to have that discussion, okay? Right. Fair?
Yeah, sure.
If you want Mr. Hosky involved, that's totally up to you, because I don't have a problem being involved.
Well, yeah, I just wasn't sure, like, mm-hmm. I guess the role between you and a principal, if it's any, like, the same when it comes to, like, our school, because I know that you also watch over KC as well, so I wasn't sure if
I do. So that kind of comes back to that and distribution of duties. So mm-hmm. The responsibility starts with leadership at each building level. My job is to guide and support if they have questions. Okay. However, if I need to be invited to it, absolutely I will. Okay. And so just following that chain of command up, and if your voice isn't heard, then you know, then we go to the next level. Right. But I'm going to, as a superintendent, never discourage a student that wants to come to the table in the right way, mm-hmm. okay, and have a discussion with building level, or if you need to district level, like we're here, have these discussions. I'm open to that all the time.
Perfect.
Okay?
All right.
Insanity is doing the same thing over and over without taking a look at what you need to change, right?
Mm-hmm. Maddie, do you feel your question's been answered?
Yes.
Okay, great. So, let's move on. I thought we'd turn the tables now, and the girls, the ladies here would say, is there anything you would like to ask them?
I get to ask questions.
Yes.
Well, first of all, I'm going to ask the question. Was this good for you?
Definitely.
I mean, did this meet your needs?
Do you have any other questions?
I feel like there's definitely some questions that maybe we don't know about that other kids may have not stepped up and asked. So I hope mm-hmm. that we have more opportunities to talk to you, because it's a good understanding.
Yeah, I agree. I think if we continue doing this, then issues that we brought up kind mm-hmm. of as they're important.
So I would encourage that. So it's just a matter of scheduling. If it's going to be in this atmosphere, that's fine. If not, we can schedule with my administrative assistant. And you know what? I can come up and have lunch, and you guys can ask questions in just a, a more of a safe environment, because sometimes, oh, it's going to be out in the public type thing. But if that's what you want, I'm open to all that. But I guess my goal today was to let you know I'm open to this, and hopefully I answered your questions. I don't ever want you to go away saying, oh, he just gave me an answer for the sake of it. These are things that I take back to and process where we're at. All right. Is that fair?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So here's my challenging question to you, and something maybe that you don't have to answer here today. But if you were given the magic wand, okay, what things would you feel would be beneficial for the underclassmen to improve the opportunity, but more importantly, the culture of Johnson County School District? Okay. Is that fair?
Yeah, I like that. Definitely.
So, you know, and what I would encourage you to do is just talk about it, maybe ask your peers, and then come up with a list, all right? What's reality? What's fiction? Let's talk about that. Obviously, we can't buy everybody a brand new car for graduation when they graduate. But what are some of the things that you think would improve the opportunities for the underclassmen? I appreciate that. What does the future look like?
Yes.
All right? And then the second question I would ask you is, what is your most valuable thing that you gained in your educational career in Johnson County School District? Fair?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can I answer the first
question?
Sure. Okay. So this is just something I thought of, and I'm not sure if like it's within the school district or not, but I know that something I really benefited from was an experiential learning opportunity. We went to Teton Science School, and I think, do you get to do that this year?
I'm
So Maddie, as a junior in human bio, will get to go. But that was one of the best learning opportunities I've ever had, because I got to connect what I was learning in the classroom to like our state and learn about all these things. And so I think more experiential learning opportunities would be something that the underclassmen would
really benefit. And like really to add on to Vivi's, I know that lots of kids are hands-on learners, mm-hmm. like I am definitely. And so like being able to go, like me and Vivi went together to Spokane, Washington for a music thing, and that was probably like a thing that I'll remember for the rest of my life.
Me too.
And it was so hands-on and so like so much learning opportunities, and I just like hope that you guys continue through the future to provide those types of opportunities for kids, because I mean it was a blast and I wouldn't take it back for the world.
I agree, and I think it really like increased school unity, mm-hmm. because we were with these people that we might not have chosen to spend time with, but through our classes we got to go do things with them. We made connections.
Definitely.
So I think it helps.
Good with underclassmen.
Yeah, and so by 2025, we have to have a balanced budget. So just as an overall view, we're $1.2 million short in revenue because of our loss of enrollment. However, that's not discouraging. It's just where if we work together, we can find and create those opportunities. So these opportunities you're talking about, there's funding that goes along with it. But instead of just saying no, how do we get to that point? And that would be you guys being involved in that. Fair?
Yeah.
Because I agree. So I've been to Teton Science School 3 times. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the most amazing experiences.
Yeah,
okay, we fundraised. We did all the stuff. We went every year in Sheridan 3. Got to go with my kids. It's exhausting. There's no waste of time.
No.
And it's a life. It changes lives. But, you know, the cost has doubled since we first started. So how do you find that? You don't want to take away the opportunities, but how do you find that revenue to get to where it is? Because we don't want it to be who can and who can't go.
Yes. Right.
We want it to be equal for everybody. So as we can work together to look at those experiences, I think that would be super awesome.
Yeah, I agree.
Perfect.
Okay.
Yeah. Anything else, ladies, that you would like to comment or ask Mr. Oski, or the other way around even?
Thank you for talking to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was fun.
I liked it. So can we do it again?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Wonderful. Well, thank you very much. Thank you, Wiley Waller, Vivi Ostheimer, Maddie Ludwig, and, of course, Superintendent Oski. Thank you very much.
Super awesome. Thanks.